Right, before we actually begin, I wanted to share something with you. I'm going to try to get my hands on the physical copy, but I don't have it yet. I only saw it. I only saw it. Now, this, by the way, is the Taz Haidu. I just pulled up the book for you, Rami. It's 92 pages. But, one second, I need to open up a different page here. This one. Okay. But, there's an article I saw this morning that there is a new book that has just been published, Heviani Chadarav, which, as you can see, is a 600-page volume on the halacha dealing with coronavirus, which collects Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Schechter, and many other poskim. So I'm going to try to get my hands on this 600-page book, so you can look through it. It's a collection of all different poskim dealing with coronavirus. It looks fascinating. I've read a lot of them because Rav Schechter's are all available online, and I have most of Rav Asher Weiss's as well. But I don't know who the other people are. But okay, so today I wanted to, I wasn't sure which one I was going to do, and then I've been in an ongoing conversation with someone in Toronto on a halachic issue with coronavirus, and we had been talking about Rav Asher Weiss's psak, and he sent me the written up tshuva this morning, so I figured it's a simen man shamayim, or I don't know, it's just an interesting tshuva that's not as heavy as what if you cause someone to die for coronavirus. So here's a bit of a lighter, but I think it's a fascinating conceptual question. Okay, if we finish Rav Asher's, then I'll give you a second tshuva on the same topic. But let's pull it up. So here's the question that Rav Asher was asked, which I think is also fascinating, and that's the following: people have been throwing around the language of pikuach nefesh when it comes to coronavirus. So someone asked Rav Asher Weiss, okay, well, are you seeing the tshuva, by the way? Yeah? Is that what you're seeing now? Usher Zelig Weiss here at the corner?
Yeah,
okay.
Very small.
I'll make it bigger, don't worry. So Rav Asher was asked the following question, which is, well, wait a second. If Pikuach Nefesh is the right category to deal with when you're dealing with coronavirus, so then what is one of the things we know about Pikuach Nefesh?
It's
Doche Shabbos. Very good. So someone asked Rav Asher Weiss and says, if you really think that this is Pikuach Nefesh, does that mean that I can be Mechal Shabbos? I'm a researcher, and I can be Mechal Shabbos and go to work every Shabbos in order to do what? To develop a vaccine for Corona. Right? It's a good question. Right? Meaning, if you think that this is Pikuach Nefesh, then presumably anything which will minimize the spread of Corona should be defined as Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore you should be allowed to, right, be Mechal Shabbos to go to work. Why is this so small, this tshuva? I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, I would think only if that one worker is essential to the team, you know, if there's a team.
Okay, good. You're essential. Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? You're the lead researcher. What do you think?
If you're the lead researcher, then fine. Then
so,
I would say maybe.
Right? So that would be a wild chiddush, though, right? Because, right, what does it force you to ask? It forced you to ask if there's a limit to Pikuach Nefesh, right? Because that's quite an expansive interpretation of Pikuach Nefesh.
Well, how is it any different from a doctor being on college?
Oh, good. So you tell me. So Gavi says, well, maybe, yeah, you're allowed to go to work on Shabbos to develop a vaccine. Maybe you are. Why not? What's the problem? Right? The Gavi says it's like a doctor, but what's the problem?
So, the line of where the line of like a doctor saving a person is like very direct. Like, there's no. Like, I mean, if you're an ER surgeon and someone pops in like bleeding, like you're obviously direct. Everything you're doing is saving that person's life. A researcher. There's a lot of things that are not really there's a lot of steps from what you're doing to saving a person's life. Like there's all those reports that you have to go fill out with.
Okay, so you're saying so Rami, I want to stop you because you're really saying two different things, right? Right, you're saying two things. One is there's a lot of things you do which are not really pikuach nefesh related. The second is, even if it is going to save a life, there's a lot of steps between you doing what you're doing and it saving a life. Those are different statements. Which one do you want to put your name behind?
I would say the one where there's many steps.
Okay, good. So Rami wants to put his name behind there are many steps, and essentially say, look, pikuach nefesh requires a certain level of direct impact, but if it's too removed, then even though, yes, it will save lives down the line, that's not what we mean by Chilul Shabbos, right, of pikuach nefesh, which is Docheh Shabbos. Now, who says what Rami says? So the first person to say what Rami says was a very important posek. Rami is on the ball today. Today, 10 minutes ago, he was mechaving to the most famous Taz, and now he's mechaving to probably one of the top five most famous Shuvot by Rabbi Chizkia Landa. Who is Rabbi Chizkia Landa? Better known by the name of his Sefer. The Noda Behuda. The Noda Behuda, who was one of the most important poskim of the 1700s. Right? One of the most important poskim of the 1700s. The Noda Behuda. The Behuda essentially says what Rami says. But he wasn't talking about vaccines. He was talking about autopsies. He was asked, are you allowed to basically donate every body to science? Because in the long term, by donating bodies to science and giving up on the mitzvah of kvura, eventually that will lead to research which will save lives. And the Noda Behuda suggested that there's a difference between what he calls chola lefanenu, chola befanenu, and chola shein befanenu. A case of pikuach nefesh where there's a sick person in front of you, and one where there's not a sick person in front of you. And he says it's only direct pikuach nefesh, where there's a sick person that you're helping, that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. But the fact that something might help save somebody's life down the line, I mean, that's important, it's a mitzvah, but that's not pikuach nefesh, which is doche Shabbos. So obviously, if a person came dying of coronavirus and you need to put him on a ventilator, right, that you could do on Shabbos. But to develop a vaccine, that's too many steps removed. Okay? So let's look at Rav Asher Weiss's tshuva, because he is going to draw on this tshuva of the Noda Behuda, or for our purposes now, the tshuva of Rami. Okay? We'll say that he's drawing on this conceptual distinction, okay?
Rabbi.
Yes.
I heard that the Noda Behuda only said that because he was afraid of them doing autopsies on him.
So I don't think that seems unlikely. It does seem to be that the Noda Behuda was really worried that they were going to do autopsies on everybody and Kvura would be completely destroyed. This is something Roy Clapper has pointed out to me, that Roy Yitzi Blau pointed out to him, that there does seem to be a... there was this very bizarre thing, but in the beginning when they started doing autopsies, there were literal grave snatchers. And people would go around to people's graves and steal bodies for science. And it was a real concern that burial would go out the window for everybody if you even opened the possibility of... right? In the tshuva, he doesn't mention that he's worried about himself. He does mention that he's worried that by allowing autopsies, it will lead to the complete elimination of burial entirely, which is what seemed to have been happening in France or London. Maybe it was London at the time. I have to look back. Whether he personally was worried, I don't know. But he does seem to have been worried about this becoming universal. Okay, so let's look at Rav Asher's tshuva. It's only two pages. But for some reason, I can't get it to be so big when I do it on share screen. I'm not really sure why. If you want, I can just attach it, and you can look at it on your own screens if that's easier. Is that easier? Do you want me to do that? Here, I'll attach it. Maybe that'll be more helpful. And then you can pull it up yourself. Let me get it. Where did I put it? That's the question. Okay, now I can't find the file. I have it open, but forget it. I'll pull up on the screen. It'll be a little bit small, and we'll deal. Okay, let's take up Rav Asher's tshuva. So, and Gavi, just for you, if we finish this, then I'll read you an English tshuva by Rabbi Clapper. Okay? And we'll get a second perspective here. Okay. I'm having trouble reading this. You can? Everyone can is capable of seeing this screen individually? Oh, okay. Is it better now? I've zoomed it on my computer, but I don't know if I've lost you on the share screen. Can you see it now?
No, we still see it.
Okay, good. So this works for me. Okay, fine. So, oh, hey, I didn't know he wrote it to that. That's funny. He actually wrote this tshuva to a friend of mine. All right, it's written to Ilan Siegelman. That's funny.
He does.
Yeah, he works for Machon Pua. Yeah. Okay, so that's always fun when you see a tshuva to someone you know. Okay. Kvod HaRav HaGon Rav Ilan Siegelman Shlita. Rav Asher Weiss. So you can tell Nati where my brother-in-law is very close to this rabbi. What? Oh, Aviva, right. He's also brothers with my wife's chavrusa from the Yuetzet program. So she's telling him now. Okay, she's telling her now. Okay. Kvod HaRav HaGon Rav Ilan Siegelman Shlita. Rav Kila Tor Tamima, Queens, New York. Okay? So Rav Ilan is a rabbi in Queens right now. He teaches a little bit Landers. And here's the shaila. Okay, who wants to take it up? It's not so long. This is page one, and I'll give you page two in a minute. Who wants to start us off here? Anybody?
Sure.
Okay, fine. Take it away. Go. Yep. Hineni b'ma'ane katzar l'sheilato. Okay, so first thing you know is this is not going to be a full tshuva, right? Here's the short answer to your question. Okay? Okay, take it away. Heyot?
Heyot,
Har Sinai. Right, Har Sinai in Manhattan. Wait, one of the people in your shul is a doctor at Mount Sinai. Okay, I don't know if it's ever been called Beit Cholim Har Sinai before, but yes, Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan. Okay. Yeah. V'uchelek. Yeah.
V'uchelek.
That's not mitzvah. That's mitzvet. Tzevet is staff, right? Mitzvet katan. Hashokedet
the
right, so he's part of a small group who is working without rest on trying to come up with a vaccine. So nafsho b'sheilato, that means he's putting his soul in this question, right? Meaning we saw this phrase last week as well. And what does he want to know? Ha'im. Yeah.
So he wants to know if he can work on Shabbos.
Because, right, Hazman Katzar v'malacha merubah, right?
Yeah, because there's
a lot to do and little time.
A little amount of time, and it's hard work.
Right? Uv'ezrat Hashem Yitbarach, right? And with the help of God, lida'ato,
t'rubim he'me l'firitas derech v'pituach v'chisnum ma'sha yachol he'vi hatzal alafim.
Right, and he thinks that what
Karovim name the pritzad to getting it to developing the vaccine.
Right, and it's going to save thousands. Right, we're right there. Right, so Lidivrei, as you can see, this is a few months ago. Right, almost there is wonderful. Here, guys, can you
send it to you? You know, I don't think it should be sent around.
I won't include it in this year, but. Yeah, here's a picture of can you see my, you can't see it because you're looking at my screen. I'll escape it for a second. Here, stop share. Here. Okay, here's a picture of Rav Asher Weiss and Rabbi Siegelman. There you go. Okay, now you see the two of them together. Okay, wonderful. Courtesy of his... Okay. I don't know if I was supposed to do that, but okay. I did it. We're done. You've now seen a picture. Okay? I don't think he cares. Fine. Yeah. So he says, L'divrei mot fo torato. So according to you, right? Right? What did he say? Efshar, yeah? Shenachri yasio ote levet cholim. It's possible that what? A non-Jew will get him to work. V'chol avadotel b'machshev. Yeah. And most of his work is on the computer. Shein bo ela shederabanan. Right? So he's lowering the stakes of the questions. Only derabanan. Hayim yesh makom lakel. Is there room to be? Lenient. Good. So what does he say?
Eftafi b'maya disayim mar.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
So
Eftach, let me open with what you finished
let
with.
Let me open it with what you ended. So
right.
Let me start from what you ended with.
Right.
Mati kashita leif shehashimush b'machshev b'shabas ena ela isur darabana. So it's
that right?
Obvious that
no, that which is obvious to you, right? Mad the pshita lei, that which is obvious to you, that what?
That working on the computer is only derabana,
right? He said that's a big machloket, right? Rabbi Siegelman is assuming that electricity is only asur midrabanan, which is what many poskim say. But Rav Asher famously does not believe that. Rav Asher thinks that using electricity on Shabbat is daraita. Discussion for another time. He says, lo kein imadi.
You're already taking it down a step by saying, you know, that a non-Jew is trying you to...
Well, that's clearly what Roy Siegelman is trying to get at here. He's saying a non-Jew will take him to work, and he will...
With the doctor, we say already that the doctor himself can drive.
No, we don't. No, we don't. No, 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 no. The halacha is that anything we could do on Shabbos, you minimize it. No, 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 no. If you're not going to lose any time by a non-Jew taking the doctor to work, of course you'd have the non-Jew take him. Right? On Shabbos, the rule is you only are mechal Shabbos if by having a non-Jew do it, that's going to delay the saving of the life in any way, shape, or form. But if it's not, right, if you prearrange or whatever for a non-Jew to take, right, to take you on Shabbos, that's not that right. We wouldn't tell the Jewish doctor to drive. Why would we do that? Because that's not necessary. Right, if you don't, you know, we don't want to delay you. But if you can, right, if you have a non-Jew right there who can drive you, of course we tell you to have the non-Jew drive. Right, that's always the rule on Shabbos. We minimize malacha if possible. Right. We always try to minimize it. That's the number one rule in violation of Shabbos. Exactly how much you have to minimize is a big machloket. But the fact that if there's literally no loss in having a non-Jew perform it, then we have the non-Jew perform it. Definitely the ancillary things. Okay. So let's. Right, so he says, first of all, your assumption that using the computer is derabanan, right? What does he say? Lo chein imadi. I don't agree. Right, so that kula, which you think you have, which is that his research on the computer is only derabanan, I disagree. Right, ukvar be'arti et da'ati. D'chol shimushu b'chashmal ve'elektronika yesh b'malacha d'oraita. I've already told you. I think electricity is biblical. Okay? So he's like, get that out of the way. But now... Here, this is the main part of the tshuva. Okay, I'm going to stop reading. Go. L'guf ha-sheila, take it.
L'guf ha-sheila, and for the main part of the question. Hine kasave ha-nada b'Yehuda. It's written in the Nada b'Yehuda. L'gavei chole, shemes tochi k'dei nituach. So, by a sick person who died... what's need to ask?
Surgery, right? During surgery.
Oh, okay. The otas of an makis hamara.
Okay, yeah. That I don't expect you to know what that means. That means to take out a kidney stone, or a gall.
Yeah.
A gallstone. I think makis hamara. I think is referring to the gallbladder. It's a gallbladder. I think it's either a gallstone or a kidney stone.
Yeah.
One of those. Okay. I think a gallstone. Yeah. Varofim.
Varofim bikshu linatach es gufaso, and the doctors are able to open up his body.
They wanted to open up his body. Right? They wanted to do an autopsy. today.
Today to so that I lived okay as however.
Aver, right? They wanted to check out the limb. Aver. B'tikva, in the hopes that what?
Shall you declaim that that through this yuchalu lilmod litafelet b'machalazu? They'll be able to learn what their mistake was,
right, and deal with this disease, right? B'yeter haslacha b'cholim acherim, and more success with other sick people. Latzilam and amavet, right? They want to figure out what they did wrong, so they'll do it better in the future. And what is the Yehuda paskin pasak? I know the Yehuda, yeah.
Pasak another Yehuda and the another Yehuda paskins the ein din pikuach nefesh the dachosas haShabbos. That we don't push off Shabbos for this pikuach nefesh. Okay, so for future pikuach nefesh, we don't push it off. Kishain chole bifaneinu.
Right, and this is the magic words that the Yehuda introduces that Rami was mechavein to. Right, there needs to be a sick person there. Right, meaning it needs to be that you see the person you're saving. But if it's something down the line, we don't define that as pikuach nefesh. Mishum kain.
In a
lavor. That's lavor. In lavor. Yeah. Don't violate.
Afal yisur derabanan kedei lekodem et masoker ufulai. We don't even violate a derabanan.
Right.
For this.
Kedei lekadem is to advance mechkar rufui, scientific, right, medical research. Right. And he says the Chassam Sofer says the same thing, right? V'chein katav b'kvotav v'shut Chatam Sofer. The Chatam Sofer says also the asur la'adam l'tromet gufo l'achar moto l'mechkar rufui v'itpaseis al divrei na Yehuda, who says you can't give up your body for medical research after death based on the Yehuda. And therefore, what does Rav Asher extrapolate to working on developing a vaccine? L'chora pashut
medivrei gedolei olam, and at first it seems that,
right,
according to the gedolei of the world,
hanal, right, on your lael, meaning it's obvious according to these two positions that what?
Dehuvet hadin nidon nidon.
Right, that's the same thing is true in our case. She'ein mechkar rufui.
Mechkar rufui she'yachol mehatzil chayim be'asid dochei asa Shabbos. Af b'isur derabanan. That we don't push off Shabbos for a future sickness that we don't have in front of us. Even a derabanan, we don't die.
The kol she'ein b'nida didan. And for sure in our case, that what? She'medu bar b'charash isur daraisa.
Daraisa.
Right? So that's
right, so
his first claim.
His presumption that it's...
Right? Right, that's his first claim.
Daraisa.
Good. I mean, remember, that's following his own position, right? Using the computer as Bal-Raisa. Okay. Now he introduces the Chazon Ish. But then he says, however, Katav HaChazon Ish, the Ein Chiluk Bein Ita Kaman Leta Kaman. He said the Chazon Ish rejects this distinction of the Nodi Behuda / Rami. And he says it has nothing to do with whether the sick person is in front of you or not. The halachic barometer is Ella Im Matsui Adavar. Is how common is it? Meaning, Elo Mikri Safik Bikuach Nevesh Bidvarim Atidim Shibehove Ein Lem Kol Zecher. We don't call it Safik Bikuach Nevesh for something in the future that might happen, but doesn't exist in the present. Uve Emet Sheinanu Bikim Batido. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. Upaamim Shemachesh Baram Latzalah Mitapech L'Roeit. Sometimes that which you think is going to save people will turn out to be the opposite. V'hilchach ein ganim b'shvil atidot rechokot. Right, the Chazon Ish says the problem isn't is the sick person in front of you or not, it is the problem current or future. But therefore, what does the Rav Asher say? Hareilan, dato agdolat ein adavar talui im yesh chole b'faneinu mamash. It's not about whether there's a sick person in front of you. Ela b'midat ha-svirut shema'aseh zeh yesh bo avera achen yovil atzalat nefashot. All you need to do is figure out the statistics. How likely is it that what you're doing will save lives? And Rav Asher said, by this standard, you definitely can't be Mechal Shabbat. Why? The Chazon Ish is saying that, look, most medical research doesn't pan out. Right? Meaning you have to do a lot of experiments before you find the one that'll work. And the reason we can't just let you wantonly be involved in research is because we don't know whether what you're doing is going to be, is going to save lives. But therefore, he says, if that's your standards, then what do you think in this case? Right, so what would you say? Well, before you read it, what would you say in this case? If the standard isn't, is the sick person in front of you, but the standard is how likely is what you're doing going to save lives? So abstract medical research is one thing. But if what if you think you're on the brink of creating the vaccine, then what might you think by this standard?
You would think that you can.
Right. So he says, "Ulidvarav." According to that, I nira lechorab benida didan shirov amumchem sovrim shachen karov levadai shatzlichu lefateh chisun. Since most people think we will successfully come up with a vaccine, ubevadai sheinze domel lemechkar anatomy lefnei yoter mimatayim shana b'mid yuda v'chatam zover. This isn't some random right anatomy lesson from the 200 years ago, right? Which how successful was that, right? Okay, one second. I got to pull up page 2. The person sent it to me in 2 JPEGs. So let me pull up page 2. Oh, I see we have 15 minutes. Okay, hopefully we'll get through this. Okay, let me take over fully just because let's try to get through this. So he says, "Uveshut machaneh." This question was dealt with in a student of the Chaim Sofer. And he was shocked at the Nevi Yehuda. And he wrote, since the doctors think that by doing this autopsy, they'll be able to help people in the future and improve other people's situation. That is Bikoch Nevesh. The Katav Shabarur lo mitoch the reign of Yehuda, Sheikar Shasho Ayasharofim Yenatchuedam Eitim, Avkshloye Kol Tzorach Bakach. He thinks that the Yehuda was really worried that people would do autopsies even when there was no need. The Katav Keinze Gamlegabi Devrechatam. So far, Vikar Devrehem Mechash Pirzo Migdar Milta. They were just worried about what this would lead to. Ah, but Rav Asher says, I don't agree with that either. L'fi ani yedati niret tvei, she'achen chidusho anod b'yehuda v'chatam sofer yisod gadol b'dinei pikuach nevesh. I think fundamentally, the anod b'yehuda and the chatam sofer are correct. She'atzala atidit u'pituach tshufot v'technikot v'chadome, right, researching medicine and techniques, enem b'chol pikuach nevesh l'tchot yisurim. They're not pikuach nevesh enough to violate yisurim. And here's Rav Asher's chiddush. We're obligated to save lives with the tools that we have. We're not fundamentally obligated to develop new tools. Human nature is that we do want to push to medical research and everything else forward. Obviously, doing medical research to improve the medical situation of people, obviously you should be blessed. There's clearly a value. But it's not a formal mitzvah or an obligation. And therefore, it doesn't push away yisurim. And he says, if that's the case, the same is true here. But maybe this is different because this disease is crazy. And hundreds of thousands of people around the world have died, including many Jews. Everyone's in danger. Maybe you'll tell me this is if there are sick people in front of you. Maybe we have to say, do everything we can to save people. But he says, even though I've explained elsewhere that whenever you can save a life, even if it's not technically a chiyuv, obviously you should do it. And it should be Docha Shabbat. V'rayel davar mashikatav Tosvot, based on this following Chiddush of Tosvot, which has a lot of lumdus written on it, but not for we. Right now, I'm just going to focus on Rav Asher. Tosfot said she Eliyahu Hanavi time atzmo lachiot et ben atzarfid valo kohen haya. That Eliyahu, when he brought the daughter, the son of the isha atzarfid back to life, he was a kohen. So how could he do that? And Tosfot wrote v'tertach shebetuach. How did that even happen? Shebetuach haya sheichyu. Tosfot writes that he knew he could bring the person back to life. Upikuach nevesh tochesh shabat to mat kohanim. And Rav Asher says, in that case, the guy was already dead. He wasn't saving a life. He was performing Tchiyat HaMeitim. And you can't say there's a mitzvah to do Tchiyat HaMeitim, right? It's a miracle. God will either do it or not. Mikol Makom, nevertheless, Tosfot said that he was allowed to violate an Isser to attempt to bring someone back from the dead, which shows that even when there's not a formal mitzvah of saving life, the value of saving lives overrides Isurim, even when there's no mitzvah. Mikom makom, b'makom she'ein medubar b'safek, ela b'vadai she'achol l'chiyoto, v'b'chal pikoach nefesh, l'tchor af Isur d'oraita. So he says, maybe, v'ish ladun, v'fizeb b'nidon didan, she'karov l'vadai, she'machkar z'achen yavi l'atzol et nefashot. And therefore, maybe you could say here, it'll save lives. But, in the end, Rashi says, amnam, af, al af kol anal, even though I have all this fascinating lumdus, and maybe you can say that saving lives doesn't even require a formal mitzvah. All of that shekatavti lepilpula shel Torah. That's good lumdus. V'nir she'en lahakel b'nin didam. But I don't think you can practically be lenient. Dalo asrot im lo meot mosrim rufuim mechone mechtaro v'dim lo lo'ot kedei lefateh chitzun zeh. Udar kulam yavru od chadashim b'mikra tov ad she'achitzun yeh mukhan lasot bo shimush nirchav. So 2 points. First of all, hundreds and thousands of people are working on developing vaccines. Two, in a best case scenario, they're not going to be ready for months. And with thousands of people working on a vaccine, and everyone agreeing that the vaccine is not going to be ready for months, how can you say that this one Jew in one of the clinical studies, he is the one that the Bikoach Nefesh of the whole world hangs on? What, does nobody go on vacation? Right? Everyone involved in research, even though they believe they're saving lives, they take vacation because they know there are thousands of people working on this around the world. The way research works is it's slow. Even if you're in the middle of a pandemic, right? We don't say, oh, it's a pandemic. All researchers are not allowed to take vacation for the rest of their life. If you really think that the extra few hours are going to save somebody's life, so put in a 12-hour day instead of a 10-hour day during the week. Tamsid dvarenu mechevan shemudar b'mechkar olami, rav mukdami, she'efshar klal l'ktov zman l'shlamato. Therefore, since you're dealing with a worldwide effort, which is going to take months anyways, we don't know when it's going to figure it out. Ein lagdir avodah b'shabak b'pikoach nefesh v'ein makom l'akel bazeh. Right, so Rav Asher, it's interesting. He starts with a few models. Maybe it's chol b'faneinu, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not a mitzvah to be involved in medical research. And then he says, you know what? Maybe it is. And even if it isn't, you can violate Shabbat to save lives even where there's not a mitzvah. But then Rav Asher says, look, forget the lamdus. Let's be practical. Pikuach nefesh means that saving people's lives depends on you on Shabbat. Thousands of people are working around the clock and they all take vacation, they all take breaks because that's life. That shows you that the way we relate to the pikuach nefesh of developing a vaccine is not identical to the way that we relate to, the pikuach nefesh of a doctor saving someone who's bleeding out in front of them. And therefore, he says, a common sense standard would tell you that you want to put in extra hours, put it in during the week. And I'll just add, because we have a few more minutes, that one of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Aryeh Klapper, was asked this same question, probably from someone in Sharon, but I'm not going to share a name, Gavi. I have the name, but I don't know that I have permission to share the tshuva, but I'm not going to go through all the details. But someone asked him the same question.
Put it in a private message to me if you want.
Okay. So Ray Clapper, you know, I'll quickly go through his arguments. So first he presents the No Debut Huda. Right? Though he notes that there are ways of saying, look, that the No Debut Huda and the Chazon Ish are not relevant nowadays, because he says, look, nowadays with instant communication and etc., and you know, we can always say that even a little bit of research will save somebody's life somewhere. Okay? So, let's leave the No Debut Huda aside. But, he writes as follows. I'll read you a few paragraphs. He said, look, on the one hand, right, doctors and EMTs already carry their cell phones everywhere on Shabbat, and many doctors go in for the regular rotations, and ambulance crews stand by for Hatzalah, and we're glad and admiring of them. And yet, Shabbat survives. But maybe the slope is slipping, and we need to draw new lines to hedge in Pikuach Nefesh. Yet at the same time, we must be extraordinarily careful not to draw those lines too tightly. Right, so he says, look, we need to be careful, because if we really define, you know, research, Pikuach Nefesh like that, so you're basically erasing Shabbat, and that's very dangerous. So we do need to expand the definition of Pikuach Nefesh, but we need to be careful when we do it. But I'll go to his main points, and here's what I think really you have to think about. And he says as follows, right? And in the end of the day, his conclusion I think is very much like Rav Asher, that the answer is not lumdish, the answer is common sense. And it's the following. He says, is working on Shabbat the only option that you have for achieving the result? Could you, for example, achieve the same result by telling your workers that you'll come in Saturday night in addition to Sunday? Right? Meaning, you're saying his particular case was not vaccines. It was making masks. Okay, but same idea. But he said, right, if you can get your goal done by working on Motzei Shabbos, so then why are you saying it's Pikuach Nefesh to go on Shabbos? Second, he said, are you giving up all your free time for this? Or are you still working 9 to 6 during the week? Would you cancel a long-planned vacation? Right? Meaning he said, if a researcher would come and say, look, I work every waking moment, every single day, and I don't go on vacation, I never take a day off, so then you could go back and say, well, maybe Pikuach Nefesh is relevant. But if you don't work every hour of every day, then why suddenly do you think you're allowed to go in on Shabbos? If you really thought that this, right? If a doctor is in the middle of a surgery, he doesn't, you know, leave in the middle of surgery saving someone's life because his shift is over. But if you really thought that research or making masks was the same level of Pikuach Nefesh, so then you should never leave work. You should never go on vacation. You should never take a day off. The third question is, are you really essential? And again, that's the same question Rusher asked. If there are many people involved on this, why does every single person need to be there at every single minute? Right? Research isn't that type of, isn't like the expert doctor. He's the only one who can save their life. Everyone's involved, and everyone has different tasks that they work on, and it's a process. The fourth is, how confident are you that, you know, in his case it was masks, that they're going to save lives? In his case, it's maybe to let people engage in activities which are not necessarily saving lives. Okay, that's unique to the mask case. But I think what you see in both cases is that, you know, and I'll just leave you with this. Clearly, Pikuach Nefesh is a relevant category in talking about coronavirus. But if we overuse that, or if we overuse that definition, we run the risk of erasing Shabbat. Because calling everything Pikuach Nefesh because I might do research which in several months from now will save people's lives, it's a mitzvah, it's valuable, that's fine. But we can't run and say, oh, it's Pikuach Nefesh and Docheh Shabbos if I'm going to, you know, if it's the type of thing that a common sense standard would tell you, I don't really believe that this is the full-fledged Pikuach Nefesh because I go home at 6 o'clock, I go home at 7 o'clock, I don't sleep at work, right? If you're willing to sleep at work 18 hours and work 18 hours a day and sleep minimal because you think that it's mamish Pikuach Nefesh, then we can talk about Shabbos. But if you're living your life in a way that reflects the fact that you think this is, you know, in the value of saving people's lives, but it's not mamish Pikuach Nefesh because you take days off, So don't then suddenly tell me, but I can't take Shabbos off. I can take Sunday off, but I can't take Shabbos off. Wait, what are you doing? That's not it, right? That's clearly you don't really believe this Bigog Nevesh if, in the literal sense of the word, if you take breaks, if you take vacation. If you do that, then what you're saying is that you understand. It's valuable. It's beautiful. You should do it. Keep going. Save people's lives. But there has to be a standard in halacha between things that are mamish bikoach nevesh and things that are valuable because they lead to saving lives in the long term, but they're not what we mean bikoach nevesh in the sense of being doche Shabbos. Okay. And like I said, you know, these are both relatively short tshuvot, but what I think they both highlight is that we really need. And you know, halacha is constantly working on this since the time of the Yehuda. They're coming up with the language of distinguishing between things that are mamish bikoach nevesh and things that contribute to saving lives and therefore are valuable in mitzvahs and you should be involved in, but aren't, but not expanding the formal definition of bikoach nevesh so widely that it basically erases the reality of Shabbos. And in both these treatments, what you see is that often a common sense standard will point you in the right direction of defining these terms. Okay, let's stop there, let's stop there. Okay, guys, I'll talk to you later. My throat is starting to go dry after two shiurim in a row, so I'm gonna call it a day for now.